We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is day two of the sort of impeachment hearings. This is not the official impeachment hearings because that'll start with the Judiciary Committee. This is the preseason scrimmage. The do we want to have impeachment hearings? Spoiler alert, they'll want to, okay? Out of all of this under the Adam Schiff regime will come the strong recommendation that the Judiciary Committee go right ahead and continue the process with actual impeachment hearings. And then Jerry Nadler, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, who has a primary opponent, by the way, who is accusing him of being just a little too conservative. I'm not making that up. You have people in this country who could find Jerry Nadler to be a little too conservative. And so he is going to do everything in his power to placate his constituency and to keep from getting Joe Crowley'd, as it were, by his own version of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So the Judiciary Committee will, in short order, after their hearings and their look-see at what is going on, they will immediately determine that there is, in fact, an impeachable offense or more than one, and they'll vote that. Then it goes to the full House. Before the full House, Nancy Pelosi will do some quick calculations, at which she is adept, by the way. She can count noses, up to 435 anyway. And she will then determine how many votes they have in excess of 218. That's the magic number, the majority needed. Then she'll throw in a safety fudge factor of 4 or 5 votes, and that leaves her with the number of Democrats she can allow to vote against impeachment. And that'll be parceled out based on who's in the most danger of reelection and those Democrats that are, frankly, most important. And they will be given special dispensation from Pope Nancy that they are allowed to vote no on impeachment. And anybody else, by the way, in the Democratic caucus who tries to do that, they might as well cease to exist. They will be airbrushed out of the photos taken atop Lenin's tomb, if you will. All right. And then, of course, it'll go to the Senate, where it'll require 47 Democrats and 20 of the 53 Republicans to convict the president and throw him out of office, which they won't come even close to doing. And that'll be that. But that, of course, is not the point, nor has it ever been the point. As I said, the Democrats can count also. And while they do wish to make happy their frothing at the mouth rabid base, which I'm not sure what they would do to get rid of Donald Trump, but more than they should, aside from making them happy, it does come up with something which, in fact, the Democrats are hoping will take place, and that is that by enough innuendo, by enough charges, by enough statements that people who are still persuadable, and there really are people in this country who are still persuadable, to say, well, gosh, I gave him a try back in 2016, but maybe Donald Trump's not the right guy. And they hope to persuade enough people, particularly in states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, that they can kick him out of office, not at the end of an impeachment trial, but during the November 3rd election of this coming year. That's the idea. Now, of course, Joseph Goebbels, the former Nazi propaganda minister, made the big lie a reality and showed how it can be done. And if you do say something long enough and loudly enough, you can change public opinion, because there are people out there who do not have much in the way of critical thinking skills. And these are people who would be inclined to say, well, gosh, I don't know. It's all I ever hear is how bad Trump is. Again, that's not even at stake here. We are talking here about what might be considered the in case of fire, break glass scenario, impeachment. In fact, there were a number of founders who didn't much care for the notion of even including that in the Constitution, but it wound up in there eventually with amorphous terms like bribery and treason and high crimes and misdemeanors. That, by the way, is why you're hearing these charges of bribery from Nancy Pelosi, because it's one of the constitutional bases for impeachment. But out of all of this, you are looking at overturning an election where the bar needs to be high, and in fact is fairly high, not as high as it might be. It requires only a simple majority of the House to impeach or indict, and it requires a two-thirds vote in the Senate to convict and kick out of office. That is why there have been four presidents who faced impeachment proceedings. None of them have been kicked out. Richard Nixon would have been, but he resigned before the inevitable occurred. But Andrew Johnson was not kicked out by only one vote, by the way, but he did not get removed from office. Bill Clinton, of course, he was not removed from office because the American public clearly adopted the attitude with Clinton of, so he lied under oath. But he lied to cover his butt because his butt was in places where it shouldn't have been, and we sympathize with that. Now, that's my summation of the public attitude, but clearly the Democrats did not pay a big price for Bill Clinton having been impeached. I doubt, very frankly, if Donald Trump and the Republicans will pay a big price. I think this is probably solidifying the base, and it will help them. So I don't expect this to be politically beneficial. And again, politics is what it is all about. It's 10:13, by the way, on the Vince Coakley radio program. And this is what has to be kept in mind. But what's interesting about this, some of the rules that are being put forward here. For example, the admission of hearsay evidence. Okay, technically, legally, that's allowed. Because this is not a courtroom. This is not a grand jury in the indictment phase, and this is not going to be a courtroom in the Senate. It'll be the House of Representatives and the Senate. Hearsay, which would never get 2 seconds into a judicial proceeding, is allowed here. But the point is not to impeach and convict the president. The point is to sway the court of public opinion. And when you allow things like hearsay, again, I'm speaking from the Democrats' point of view here, so if you're a Democrat, I hope that you will listen to my thoughts here, because I'm actually trying to help you out against my general instincts. If you are only interested in the court of public opinion, allowing hearsay does not help you any, okay? It looks inherently unfair. Using people with no firsthand knowledge of the president, no firsthand knowledge of what he said or what he did, people who in most cases haven't even met the president. This does not help your case. So, Democrats, if you're using a quasi-judicial, actually legal process to try and sway the court of public opinion, you're doing so in a way that will hurt you. This is free advice, by the way. I'm not sending you a bill. I want you to know that, all right? This is not the most effective way to do it. Expect, I would say, before the day is out from Marie Yovanovitch, some tears. I expect to see the waterworks turned on. And we'll just have to wait and see. But my guess is no big deal. Jim Bohannon sitting in on the Vince Coakley radio program. It is always a delight to have a chance to chat with you folks, and you can chat right back textually or by telephone. So stick around, and more to come. The time is 10:15.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, I can, because I heard Christmas music the other day in my dentist office. But anyway, Impeachment hearings, or the hearings to decide if there will be impeachment hearings, underway with the former ambassador of the U.S. to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, who has had some interesting things to say so far. She did acknowledge that she knows that she serves at the pleasure of the president, and then has proceeded for the entire rest of her time to fail to realize that she serves at the pleasure of the president. This is not job security. There's no union for ambassadors. There's no severance pay for ambassadors. If the president wants you, you serve. When he doesn't want you, you're gone. If the president should treat you rudely, well, that would be unfortunate. But it's not an impeachable offense. If the president treats you abruptly, perhaps not the wisest course, I don't know, not an impeachable offense. And throughout the testimony that has been coming forward, statements like how much she has served her country, good for you. We're happy that you have. The first day's witnesses also indicated they had served their country a lot. And they had. And good for them. And so what? This is an impeachment hearing. We're not talking about whether or not the President of the United States made mistakes or behaved in an erratic or even unfriendly way, none of which are impeachable offenses. This whole thing is about impeachment. And personally, in watching what has transpired, my basic assumption is I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. Now, I admit you that I have, I suppose, a certain amount of credulity on the line here. When they first came out with the Trump campaign collusion with the Russians, I said, well, that doesn't sound good, nor did it, although on reflection I realized that in and of itself that is not a crime, much less an impeachable offense. But I was open. Okay, well, so did he? Well, let's hear what they've got to say. I'm trying to be open. And we waited, of course, and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And then came the Mueller report, and you could hear the air going out of the impeachment process. There was nothing there. But wait, wait, we've got Ukraine. Now I have a certain amount of credulity, I suppose. Oh, something else? Well, okay. Nothing on the Russian collusion. We've got Ukraine. Okay. What is it? Well, now, in hearing such as this, it is important to lead off with the best stuff you've got. In baseball, you tend to put your cleanup hitter, your power hitter, in the fourth spot in the batting order. But on congressional hearings, you lead off with the best you got. I must say that from the Democrats' point of view, day one was not encouraging. Boys and girls, not in my view. Time now is 24 past 10 on the Vince Coakley radio program with Jim Bohannon sitting in. So that was their best shot. Well, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. Now, you might ask, Jim, just how long are you going to keep saying, well, let's hear what you've got every time the Democrats bring up something else? And the answer is, I think two is about enough. In the beginning, I was willing to grant at least the possibility of good faith arguments being put forward. The president did something terrible. Okay, let's hear it. And nothing. And then, oh, the president did something else really terrible. And so far, nothing. And if a third thing comes up, you know, parking tickets, whatever, jaywalking, I am much less inclined, and I think that that is something that the Democrats might want to keep in mind. I think the public will be much less inclined. You've burned us twice, or we're in the process of being burned the second time. Who knows? Maybe a bombshell will emerge, but I'm not holding my breath. After this, what do they do? I don't know. Clearly, they're going to lose the impeachment conviction battle. It's not going to happen. They will impeach, and they will not convict, and that's clear enough. Then comes the election, less than a year from now. What happens then? Well, if Donald Trump wins re-election and he's around not only until January 20th of 2021, but till January 20th of 2025, that's a long time. What do then? You know, I don't know, and I'm not sure that they know. They never thought they were going to be in this position. For one thing, Donald Trump wasn't going to win the nomination, okay? I mean, that would have been nice. They were looking forward to it. And then as the Republican primaries got underway in 2016, and they said, you know, son of a gun, this guy Trump could get the nomination. Ooh, goody. We will slaughter him. And then Donald Trump did get the nomination. And then came the election, and they didn't slaughter him, even though it was Hillary's turn to be president. That really angered them big time. But they were gonna get him. And you can remember the headlines that came out back when he was still president-elect, before he had done a thing, before he'd even had a day in office, before he'd had a minute in office. There were calls to impeach him and efforts underway to impeach him, get him out of there. Why? Because they didn't like him as a person, and certainly as a conservative, which Donald Trump has not always been, but he has become. And then, so we'll get him with this Russian collusion, even though it was a made-up hoax, the Steele dossier, for which, by the way, somebody lied to a federal judge about the veracity of the Steele dossier. But that has yet to happen. That person has not gotten in trouble yet. Didn't get him there. Okay, well, we'll try Ukraine. They're not going to get him here, either. Because of the high bar of two-thirds of the Senate, 67 votes, not gonna happen. Okay. What next? Seriously, I don't know. But I am wondering if they know. They will have pretty much squandered most of the efforts that would be available to them. What do you do in a second term for Donald Trump? What do you do? Well, you know, I have a suggestion. You've done your best. And let's say that it works out the way I'm suggesting, that you have tried everything and nothing will stick to the wall, and you are just going to finally say, okay, we give up. We're stuck with you for 4 years. Just a thought. Here's a thought. Since the Republicans will have the presidency, and whatever the Democrats still have, whether they keep the House or take the Senate, whatever they've got, they might consider this. They might consider working with him, putting forward proposals on possible bills, you know, governing. Just a thought. I mean, it's a pretty drastic step, I understand. But, I mean, we're just talking about the possibility here that maybe the Democrats will be reduced to governing. Because I think they are rapidly running out of options on ways to get rid of the president. All right. We'll be taking some calls here, checking out the text line here in just a moment. But suffice it to say that we have, I think, a pretty desperate time for the Democrats. Seriously, we have seen nothing that is sticking, and probably a solidifying of the Republican base, which is the entire Trump reelection strategy to solidify that base. Starting with Jimmy in Easley. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing splendidly. Thank you.
I ain't heard from me before, but you run WRD. you substitute for everybody, don't you?
Well, I do. I'm sort of the all-purpose. I'm sort of like the Swiss Army host, okay? I fit in anywhere.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, single-minded redneck as I am, I believe the whole thing is they don't have nothing. They don't have anybody running for president. I suspect before it's over, you're going to see, Obama's wife be in there. Hillary's even talking about this. The candidates you've got now couldn't get elected to a garbage collector. So they got to do is just... They don't have any plans on, I don't believe, in impeaching him. It's just a matter of smearing his name, and you're bound to get some crooks and put him in jail in the middle of that thing. because there's always crooked politicians, no matter what party it is. And at the end, it's just going to be a show to try to change the campaign or change the where they can get some people elected. I believe that.
Well, it is very much so. Specifically, what they are hoping is that enough people in Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, four states that the president was not expected to carry in 2016, they can switch enough votes there, switch those four states to the Democrats, and it would be exceedingly hard for the president to win re-election. That is the point. But they know, as well as you and I know, very frankly, Jimmy, that they're not going to impeach and convict the president in a Senate trial. They don't have the votes. So you're right.
And the other part, and I understand, because at one time I guarded an image. Those jobs are political motivated. The president, when you get to be president, you pay back some campaign things by appointing them people as ambassador of this to any place like Canada, any of them. I mean, they're just what you call political appointees. It's not a career, is it?
It's not, no. And point of fact, you have no job security. There's no ambassador's union. You serve as long as the president wants. And when the president's done with you, even if it is in 5 seconds, even if he tweets it, it may not be the most polite way to handle it. But I'm sorry, politeness doesn't often go with this. If you're out, you're out. And again, as I say, one of the most remarkable comments from Marie Yovanovitch in the hearings today was that she understands she serves at the pleasure of the president. But for the entire rest of the time, she failed to understand that. She said things like, I do not understand Rudy Giuliani attacking me. You don't have to. If you don't like what Rudy Giuliani said, then sue him for libel.
I mean, wouldn't you like to have a job in a nice foreign country, you know, not one that's going to kill you, but set up in an embassy, you get to go to all these parties and stuff. I mean, that's the life of Riley. Come on. I mean,
well, I'll put it this way. There is some socializing. I don't know that I would consider Ukraine necessarily to be a garden spot to go to, but there's no doubt about the fact that living an ambassador's life does not entail a lot of heavy lifting. Points well made, Jimmy. And on the other points here, as we go to another set of calls here, but on another point, I would take note of the fact of, you mentioned various names that are possibly to be mentioned in terms of maybe running for president, and okay, Michael Bloomberg is thinking about it. He's made himself available in a couple of earlier primaries. Deval Patrick, former governor of Massachusetts, big buddy of President Obama's, he is running. Hillary, of course, keeps saying that there's all this pressure on her to run, but I think that's mostly coming from diehard fans of hers. And then, of course, you get down to Michelle Obama. We keep hearing the name Michelle Obama, and I got to be honest with you, I'm just not at all sure that I think she might be interested in running someday, possibly, but really, I don't think it'll be very soon. I really don't. And not this go-around. Maybe in 2024, something like that. All right, 19 minutes now before 11 o'clock on the Vince Coakley radio program with Craig in Charlotte. Hey, Craig.
Hello, how you doing this morning?
Very well.
I'm calling to say that I think the reason they're doing all this, and with all the scandals in the past and the ones that will come after his re-election, is just simply to bog down his ability to pass legislation and get things done, because he is the most dangerous president this party, the Democrat Party, has ever faced. And even in all the scandal he's been embroidered in, he's gotten more done than just about any other Republican. So imagine how damaging he could be to that Democrat Party if he was left unfettered.
Well, it does fetter him, I think, to an extent, Craig, although, of course, legislatively, they've got him fettered already. They have a majority of the House. They can vote against anything and fetter him that way. In terms of executive orders, the president, of course, has been forced to use executive orders, and he has done most of the things that he could do by executive order in the first 3 years of his presidency. So they're fettering him. They don't have to go to this much trouble. As long as they've got a majority of the House of Representatives, they can block any legislative proposal he makes. So A lot of this is spite, just backbiting. I'll be really honest with you. It's just we don't like him.
And they're also having a lot of trouble. If they were to allow him to just continue on with his things like his foreign policy and other things that they don't have as much control over, you know, just letting him do all that and trying to work with them destroy their party and expose their whole party as traitors to the United States. And they're going to do everything they can to bog him down from being able to do anything effectively.
Oh, that's certainly the goal. Exactly. It certainly is. Of course, if they were to get rid of him, even if the impeachment process worked and he was convicted and the first president to be, convicted in an impeachment trial, that would send the presidency down to Mike Pence, who is essentially the kinder, gentler version of Donald Trump. He would pursue pretty much the same policies. So, I mean, there's little point to that. You're not going to get him impeached and convicted and then go down to President Pelosi. And I want you to say that together with me, Craig, now. You ready? President Pelosi. It's hard, isn't it?
I'm moving to Canada.
No, don't do that. Stick around and vote. Vote. Vote, Craig. Vote. I appreciate your thoughts, and I thank you very much for being with us this morning. As this... Texter says, do you think the closed-door session run by Schiff was really witness prep sessions and not hearings? That testimony is so scripted. A lot of it is. A lot of it is. And yes, prep sessions. I agree completely. I agree. Prep sessions. Right. Texter says, one good thing that could come out of these hearings are limits on how long these diplomats can camp like hobos in foreign service jobs. Okay, very good. It's becoming obvious that the Democrats have been part of the corruption in Ukraine and benefited from it. This is why they are fighting. Yeah, I would agree with what you're telling me this morning. Again, I'm not convinced yet, and I am open. If they come up with the goods, then I might have to reluctantly say, okay, he should be impeached. We're waiting. Haven't seen it yet. Jim Bohannon sitting in for Vince Coakley on this Friday morning. And stick around, folks. We've got a lot more to come up here before Rush Limbaugh comes in to take over the helm. So stand by. It's 10:45.
Entercom supports the Travis Mannion Foundation.
WBT's Holiday on Ice is Charlotte's only outdoor ice rink in the heart of Uptown. The grand opening is this Friday, and we've got all your holiday fun covered, that grand opening therefore being, of course, today. So thanks to our skatehouse sponsor, Fox 46 Charlotte, WJZY, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, and the Billy Graham Library. Concessions courtesy of Food Lion, located at the NASCAR Hall of Fame Plaza in Uptown. Visit Holiday on Ice Charlotte.com for details. All right. Let us check in here with what's happening out there in Caller Land and Chris in Pineville. Hi, Chris.
How are we doing, sir?
Doing splendidly.
Excellent. Just wanted to cattle mention, tell you that I noticed you filling in all kinds of time slots, and you just come in and you just do your thing and never miss a beat, and it's pretty impressive.
Well, you're mighty kind. I thank you very much for that. That's what they pay me to do.
Roger that. So, I don't know. I want to call and ask you this question so you can tell me whether I'm just being bitter and biased or if I have some kind of valid point here. When Adam Schiff gets up there and he starts telling me that myself and every American owes a huge debt of gratitude to these lifelong diplomats, I feel the opposite is true. Like, these diplomats are in these coveted positions. They need to be thanking me for going and doing my job, paying my taxes so that they can have their job, go and do these diplomatic events. I mean, why do I feel like I should be in debt to them?
Well, no, you're bitter and biased. I'm pulling your leg, Chris. You're right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry, but I mean, yes, I'm happy that we have career public servants, but let's not forget the fact that we pay them, and we pay them pretty well. They've chosen this type of job. Job security? No, there is no job security. Well, you took the job. If you don't like this, of course, you could always go out and be making Big Macs at McDonald's, or asking, would you like fries with that, or saying, welcome to Walmart. There are other options to these various diplomats if they want to try it. So, no. There is, don't forget, on the left, there is the view that anybody in a government job automatically is deserving of tons of thanks because they're the only really productive people out there. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not on the front lines of real, you know, like I'm sitting here listening to this ambassador talk about, you know, it reminded me of Hillary Clinton with her sniper fire, having to hide out, and she didn't have a helmet. And it was, oh, my God, like she just painted this whole picture of how victimized she is and how horrible and how much jeopardy her life is in and just how tragic it is. But it's just upside down world to me, man.
You are right on, Chris. You absolutely are. And trust me, from somebody who has, in fact, taken incoming fire, you wouldn't mistake it for crowd noise or a VFW parade, okay? Appreciate that. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to Tony in Statesville, next up on the Vince Coakley radio program. Hello, and welcome to Tony.
Hey, man, thanks, man. Yeah, you just gave that guy some incredibly bad advice and incredibly bad statements. Because
please correct me, Tony.
Yeah, ambassadors do matter to the United States.
Yes, they matter. They matter.
Let me finish mine. They are very, very important instruments of our democracy. And so for you to try and belittle them because you're on a different spectrum of this impeachment argument, and that guy is also... That's still not a reason to disparage career ambassadors because they work for whoever the president is. As a matter of fact, they work for the office of the presidency, not the president. So therefore, you know, these people are not to be degraded or disparaged because they're working for the office and not the individual in the office. That's the important fact.
As I said, they have a valuable role to fulfill, Tony, but that doesn't mean that they have job security or that we should shed big tears if they feel they've not been treated well. Yes, they have an important job to do.
I don't think you ask. Of course, they serve at the pleasure of the president of the United States. But man, you guys, I know that you love Trump. I understand that.
Well, first of all, I don't particularly love him. Okay, I think that he's better than what the Democrats are offering. But just so we're on the record, to call me a Trump lover would be a vast exaggeration.
Okay, well, I can accept that. But the thing about it is, the institutional norms. We still after this guy. I don't care if he gets another 4 years. I really don't. But after he's gone. Our institutions need to be safe as possible, as safe as possible that they can be, and they need to continue to operate just like we do on the world stage. Our institutions, those are very important, and so I hope he doesn't damage them to the point where they're irreversible. That's all.
Well, I appreciate your point, although I do not see any institutions here being damaged by going outside of regular diplomatic channels. Every president in our history has probably gone outside of regular diplomatic channels. You've got your cabinet members, your secretaries of state. Richard Nixon, for example, and William Rogers as Secretary of State. William Rogers hardly ever acted as Secretary of State because early on, Nixon liked Henry Kissinger better, first as a National Security Advisor, and then later as the actual official Secretary of State. So going outside of channels is not either illegal or unconstitutional or impeachable. And this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Yes, ambassadors have their place. The system is not under attack here because whatever function that Ambassador Yovanovitch was fulfilling is being fulfilled by other people now. The system is undamaged, in my opinion. So... Anyway, appreciate your call and all of you giving us food for thought here. Great banquets for thought. We appreciate that. Thanks very much. Stick around. We've got more to come here, both on the phone and, of course, on the text line. Vince Coakley out today, and Jim Bohannon here sitting in and looking forward to a chance to speak with you for another hour before, of course, the rush man comes in and makes it all perfectly correct and wonderful.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.